staple of the superhero mythology is there's the superhero and there's the alter ego. Batman is actually Bruce Wayne. Spider-Man is actually Peter Parker. When that character wakes up in the morning, he's Peter Parker. He has to put on a costume to become Spider-Man. And it is in that characteristic Superman stands alone. Superman didn't become Superman. Superman was born Superman. When Superman wakes up in the morning, he's Superman. His alter ego is Clark Kent. His outfit with the big red S, that's the blanket he was wrapped in as a baby when the Kents found him. Those are his clothes. What Kent wears, the glasses, the business suit, that's the costume. That's the costume Superman wears to blend in with us. Clark Kent is how Superman views us. And what are the characteristics of Clark Kent? He's weak. He's unsure of himself. He's a coward. Clark Kent is Superman's critique on the whole human race.
There's a nail in the door, and there's glass on the lawn. Tacks on the floor, and the TV is on.
Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
And I guess this is a point where we say hi to 2013. Because
no, I don't like 2013. Why am I saying
you don't like 2013?
Why am I telling it hello?
Because it's here.
No, put stop. I don't even like that 2013 is in a room. 2013, you go in the corner, face the corner, and think about what you've done.
What has he done to you already? He's only been around a week.
While people are still busy enjoying 2012, out of nowhere, boom, 2013. It's been a dick to everybody. Imposing itself on numbers. It sounds so wrong. 2013.
Seriously. Come on.
So, in times previous, we've done like full-blown looking forward to the new year of movies episodes, but I feel like we could really just do it really quickly. And what I really want to ask you guys, as Damien's phone rings,
wow, I'm pretty sure I have this on silent.
Instead of doing the full blown 2013 look forward to, what I want to do is I want to ask you guys to list three movies you're looking forward to this year that
one,
you expect
two, three, four,
that at the
five,
end of
six,
the year when
seven,
we do our top
eight.
10 of 2013 list.
Mm-hmm.
Will be on your list.
So by three you mean eight, right? Because I have eight.
No, by three I mean three.
Can you put up that email that I sent you?
Three that will be on the top 10?
Yes, on your top 10.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I can take out a lot of things now.
Alright.
Don't you love it when Douglas doesn't read emails?
Are we going to go round robin? What are we doing?
No, we're just going to list them out.
Alright.
So, Douglas, if you want to start with your three.
Well, no top 10 is complete without a Park Chan-wook movie. So, Stoker has to be there. I don't care what that movie is about. That movie is number one. Also, we've got the Place Beyond the Pines,
mm-hmm,
with Brad Cooper and Ryan Gosling. And you know what? Fuck it. Let's just go for the Ryan Gosling double with Gangster Squad.
Damien?
Alright. So I'm going to start off by cheating. Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh fuck! How did I not put that on my... I forgot about
person.
That one. And you know what's funny? All day today I was like, remember, put in your phone, Zero Dark Thirty. And then I went to Wikipedia and forgot all about it and it wasn't there on the 2013 list.
Zero Dark Thirty, The Great Gatsby, and Superman.
Yeah, Great Gatsby was on my list. But
Superman is kind of tied with Star Trek because those are the two summer movies I'm looking for.
But you see the thing about that? Again, I know that's not... Neither of those movies are going to be on my top 10 list. Why? Because I love them without needing to like watch them.
Seen them.
Yeah, you know.
Absolute bias.
There is nothing but bias in my heart for those two movies.
Fair enough. Is it? Oh. Speaking of movies,
yeah.
Before, I'm cutting all of this shit off right now. Ruby Sparks wasn't on either of you two guys' list. You fucking assholes.
It should have
gave me so much shit and told me it was the greatest movie you saw last year. And it wasn't on either. It was even a special mention.
Fair enough.
You guys are dicks.
Yeah, we are dicks. And thank you for reminding me about that list. And I now need to speak to Paul Dano and Zoe Kazan and apologize deeply because that movie does deserve to be on the top 10
list. Yeah, sure it does. That's why you forgot it.
That is why I forgot
it. Oh, yeah. It was so good.
It was so good
that you forgot it.
I just... That's what happens when I spend all of 5 minutes on my top 10 list.
Much shit. For saying a bad thing about that movie. And no... It was after I went home, I was looking through the movies. I went, wait. What is this nonsense here? And like, these sons of bitches... First, listen off that night.
I needed to have Ted on my list.
You didn't even remember the movie. And you didn't even have a special mention.
I love that movie.
And he was like, oh no, it changes everything about these type of movies. The hippie dream girl nonsensical type of movies. It's the best thing ever. Oh, and I can't wait. This is the best and nothing. Not even a piece. You guys. If you see for 2013, you guys even attempt to give me any shit. And Andrew, your FP credit's done. So let you know that from now. It's a brand new year. So expect to get a world of shit this year. Alright. You gave two movies. Did you even give a movie? What's your top three?
My top three is Place Behind the Pines.
Right, the two random.
No, it's Place Beyond the Pines, Stalker,
and Zero Dark Thirty.
Of
course. And Andrew Robinson.
So, because 2013 is a new year, and I need to allow Damien to start piling the shit on everything I say on this podcast. You guys went... That I'm going a different route. I'm going for the movies in which I see there's an edge, and I kind of hope that edge comes out to be a really great movie. Number one, the sequel to Sin City is coming out. Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
So you expect this movie to be on your top 10? Because that is the criteria that you gave us, you know. It's not the movies you want to see the most. It is things you expect. Andrew Robinson, you've... think I'm going to sit here and allow you to tell me that Sin City is going to be on your top 10 list of next year?
Yes.
Alright, Andrew.
Okay. I just break Damien?
I think this needs to become more of a habit. I am now, as we speak, opening up my calendar.
Yeah.
And going to
December 2030.
No.
Give Andrew shit about Sin City. And the wars.
And the wars.
The movie wars. 2030. Alright, what's number two, you simple bastard?
Number two is January Paul Feig's The Heat. The comedy with Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock. The Brent Baden trailer that came out for that a month ago.
Douglas, are you hearing this?
I'm not listening. What did he say?
Sandra Bullock movie. He just said The Heat.
What the fuck, Andrew? What the fuck? Andrew shit.
Andrew, is this like a sick joke that we don't get? I don't understand why this is funny to you. Why give us the caveat at the top if you're just going to piss all over the the one rule you gave us? Why not say Scary Movie 5? Right? Just end it off with a bang. Right? The Hangover 3.
I thought about that.
Hunger Games.
But the truth of the matter is, my number 3 was taken by Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a quick scramble to try and remember what other movies are coming out next year, this coming year... which I can't remember anything good. I just threw on the sequel to Thor because Thor is that good.
Andrew,
no, look, there's no, some. No. There, so Douglas Robinson, it's a new year. What have you seen?
All right,
I'm here, guys. I'm still alive.
I've seen quite a few things, but I'm going good. To take out the stuff that we talked about in the top 10 podcast.
Okay.
And just talk about a few things. First and foremost, I watched the FP. The FP.
For the Ducks.
For the Ducks.
And I'm retiring the FP for 2013. Because it's not fair.
Yeah, it's not fair. That movie is fucking crazy. Oh, and that's about all I'm going to say about it.
God.
I also watched Cabin in the Woods, which was fantastic. Love that movie. Probably one of
I can't see myself enjoying another horror movie ever again, because every time I watch a horror movie, I'll think of Cabin in the Woods, and I will no longer. I mean, I already find myself. I find it hard to be scared in horror movies to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
This is not helping. Not helping at all.
Yeah, but can I tell you? I will never look at a unicorn the same way again.
Yeah. Or a merman.
Oh, yes. Oh, boy. I also watched Once Upon a Time in Anatolia. That movie is beautiful. It is so beautiful, but so boring.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Unfortunately so. But... We got a great movie with Spring, Summer, Fall, Winter, and Spring.
Mm-hmm.
We got a technically good movie with Once Upon a Time in Anatolia. Mm-hmm. Let's hope that there's a positive progression with the next one.
The movie wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't.
One second.
Yes.
You just brought up
Spring, Summer,
Winter,
Fall and Spring.
And then Once Upon an Anatolia. What are those two movies doing together? What have they linked?
So clearly I made a mistake.
It wasn't him?
No. Those two movies have... the director isn't the same. It's not Kim Kiduk doing Once Upon a Time in Anatolia.
Oh. Well, in that case, fuck that guy.
Which guy?
Anatolia, clearly.
No, the guy from that directed the movie we love.
His next movie, which he did, is Pietro, which is a fantastic movie. I've been telling you guys to try and watch it.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I'll sit down and watch it one day when it comes out.
In HD.
When it comes out.
That's true, it hasn't come out yet. I also have been watching... there's another movie I watched. I'm not going to talk about it yet because of how what I want to say. But I have been watching a really great TV show by the name of The Hour, starring Ben Whishaw, who is just fantastic in anything he's in. I've seen him in Criminal Justice, where he essentially put on a one-man show.
He was in our number 6 movie.
He was in Skyfall, and he was fantastic for the 2 seconds he was in there. And now he's in The Hour, where... he calls somebody Moneypenny and somebody calls him James. So guess what? It all makes sense to me. It comes back together. This show is fantastic. It's, I understand why Andrew loves this show. It's like, he is essentially making up for not liking Newsroom. It makes sense. the shows are so similar, except this one has an element of spy.
I think we should rename this podcast into "Let's Make Fun of Andrew for an Hour and a Half Each Week."
We also make fun of each other.
No,
just make it easier because you say such crazy shit. I give Douglas shit all the time when he picks shitty French movies.
Yes, he does.
And Douglas has still picked the worst movie we've ever reviewed on this podcast.
Which one is that again?
I'm sorry?
Do you not remember The Butcher Boy?
Yes. Oh, there was a nuclear weapon.
As far as I'm concerned, it's a David Bowie movie, but that's just me. Maybe it's because Damien didn't watch that movie. But whatever, let's move on. We're just talking about The Hour.
Right, The Hour is fantastic. As I say, it's similar to The Newsroom. I wouldn't say it's better or worse, but clearly for Andrew it is. And it has... the Newsroom elements to it, plus kind of like a spy, Cold War kind of feel of a backdrop going on as well, with lots of intrigue. But it's really good. I just finished up season one and can't wait to start season two. But now for the last thing that I saw this week, and that is, I have to apologize to Kevin, and I have to apologize to Hermione, because I did not watch their movie Perks of Being a Wallflower before the top 10 episode. If I did, that shit would have been very high up in there. That movie was it was just ridiculous. Ezra Miller, as usual, kills it. Hermione is, you know, able to not look bad, and and the story is just so good, and the way it is told is impeccable, and how everything just all rushes at you in the end. It's something to behold, Damien. If you have not watched it, which I don't think you have, you need to.
It is most definitely on the list.
I'm so happy. I love that movie. I was actually very worried about hearing you guys watch that movie, because I'm afraid that's one of those that just you guys wouldn't like that much as I like it.
To tell you the truth, I didn't think I was going to like it. Honestly, I think the biggest reason for me watching this movie was because Nicholas was watching this movie the other day. And I just kind of sat down beside him because I think I was going out somewhere and just had a couple minutes to kill. And I was like, yeah, this movie look alright, you know. And so I decided recently to just, you know, pick up where I left off. And
so Andrew, when I made you watch the first 15 minutes while I was there, that wasn't enough.
Oh, it was you? I thought it was Nicholas. Whoever it was. Somebody did. Yeah.
One of my brothers.
I apologize, Andrew. Yeah. I apologize.
One of my brothers is watching this shit.
You have to sit with me. This was over the Christmas break.
There was a lot of ham, alcohol,
you know.
It's not my fault.
Yeah. But that is my week in a nutshell, and what a great week it has been. But I must say... that for the next few weeks, months even, you guys just don't even bother ask me what I watched during the week. I just received the final installment of the Wheel of Time series at my doorstep this morning. Do not expect me to do anything else, but not only read that book, but more than likely read the first 12 books again. So,
oh,
so
I'm sorry. I have no context. What in God's name is the Wheel of Time?
It's a
look, Damien. Mm-hmm. It is a J.R.R. Tolkien ripoff.
Fuck you!
And it is a series of books in which they take 50 pages to explain to you what a cloak looks like.
Remember. Hold on. Wait. Remember, this is every book. Exactly. This is a person that doesn't read, and so when he reads and somebody describes something, he's like, "Why didn't you just show me a picture?" So, let's not listen to his point of view.
I was functionally illiterate until about last year. And, but then I started not reading, but listening to books. And that was the first kind of hurdle I had to get over. Mm-hmm. The fact that, because books don't have an end time, the author can feel free to just go, "Oh, you see this thing? Let me tell you why this thing is this." Like, why? Why are we turning away from where we're clearly going?
No.
For you to explain something.
No, but you see,
what I thought that was just shitty writing. Turns out that is just writing.
No, but truthfully though, Andrew's being an asshole. Because when he says 50 pages, what he means is actually like 5 lines.
It's 5 lines too many though.
It's 5 lines too many for Andrew.
And Nippon talk. All this reading. Could be watching a movie.
I could be watching a movie. How dare this guy waste my
Well, time. You almost were watching an HBO miniseries. I imagine that Game of Thrones was actually put on HBO because this thing didn't go through. I think HBO purchased the rights to the first book, but I guess they didn't, you know.
They said, are there dragons? There's no dragons, we don't want to hear it.
But yeah, actually, that's a good comparison. Game of Thrones is a good sort of comparison. It's that kind of time frame, but with no dragons, but with like magic, essentially.
Wait, so there's magic and no dragons, Douglas? How have they not magicked up a dragon?
Well, there's a guy in there called the dragon, so in a sense, there is a dragon.
I don't like this.
He's just a guy, though.
What are you saying?
Wait, no. Technically, there are dragons. They're just not called that. That's true. There are some flying things. Yes. Some large flying objects. I cannot remember. It's been it's been at least a year and a half since the last book. Mm-hmm. I have forgotten a lot, which is why I said to you, I'm probably going to read the first 12 books again.
Ignore people and other people and read these books.
You need to read it.
So, Damian,
you need to listen.
What have you been watching?
I've been watching CES 2013.
Oh yes,
I sent you guys an email.
You did, and I haven't read it yet.
No doubt.
I apologize.
Andrew hasn't read it either. So thanks. But I've been watching. I was home Thursday, Friday. I didn't have work those days, and so I went home and I'm like, all right, I need to watch some of these movies that these guys have on their list so that I can, you know for certain. And then I remembered, oh right, I haven't watched the first couple days recap of CES from these 19 sites that I visited. And so I went, all right, let me just look at that and then I'll get to these movies. And it spiraled into days, like from Monday till probably Friday. I didn't watch anything at all. It was just CS coverage. It's glorious. But I did get in some movie watching Friday and, well, today. First, I saw Seven Psychopaths.
Man, I have that to watch.
From Martin McDonagh. Don't know what else he's directed.
He directed In Bruges. Have you not watched that movie?
No, of course I've seen it.
You just look so confused.
Because XBMC didn't bring up In Bruges.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm not actually going on the internet to check all of the stuff. I just check to see the movies that I have from the director.
You have to go home and teach XBMC how to work.
Maybe that folder isn't being added. I don't know. All right. Well, no, it makes more sense. Now, give credence to why I like this movie a lot more. Sam Rockwell, Colin Farrell, Woody Harrison, Christopher Walken, Tom Waits, your boy, Olga Kurylenko is in there just long enough to get shot. It's glorious. The movie, we've seen a trailer, and Andrew had it as part of 19 other movies at number 9, and then took it off his list like an idiot in play for some other nonsense. Had we seen this movie, it would have been in our top 10. So I'm kind of glad it's not there, because
it less rambling to be done. Yeah.
There's a point where Sam Rockwell says Gandhi was wrong. He's talking about the eye for an eye thing that he said.
Oh, yeah.
The whole world will be blind.
Mm-hmm.
And he says Gandhi is wrong, and then he lays out why he's wrong, and then at the end of it he says, everyone's too afraid to say it to his face. They're like, alright. And it's just things like that, and Tom Waits plays this glory. In fact, everybody's spot. Now that you've told me that he's the In Bruges guy, all of it is making so much more sense though. Douglas, remember that warm feeling you got after you saw In Bruges, because the subject matter shouldn't have been that funny, and yet it turned out to be really, really funny.
You see, I remember that warm feeling, but I'll tell you why I had that warm feeling. I got that warm feeling because I'm an asshole. and Andrew Robinson had seen this movie before. And he said to me, In Bruges is a great movie. I want to buy that on DVD. At the time, there was no such thing as a Blu-ray.
You're lying, but sure.
Well, it wasn't popular or in the mainstream yet, okay? It wasn't retail. And I said to him, really? It's Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell's an idiot. I don't like him. He's like, no, Douglas, it's great. Then I went to what once was the horrendous place that is Mobile Music. Oh. And
Scourge Against Humanity.
Exactly. But there I saw a DVD named In Bruges. And I said to myself, you know what? This movie is going to be shit. But I'm going to buy it to piss off Andrew. Because when I buy it, he's not going to buy it. And he's never going to buy it.
and then it turned into
a great movie.
I'm trying to, like, I've heard people complain. I think this was one of Andrew's complaints, that the third act wasn't executed that well. And in all fairness,
there was no climax.
No, there was a climax.
Oh, okay.
The tone of the third act kind of jumps around. It goes from comedy and then it goes to this really serious place and then it comes back to comedy, but there's no there's not a ramp up or, you know, a ramp down. It just cuts between, but it's real good. In fact, right after the end of the movie, they have, this post credit scene. It's not like what they do in the Marvel movies where it's like way down in the credits. Mm. They start showing the director name and they show like three actors' names and it ties back into what happened in the movie. And the post-credit scene is probably the best scene of the movie. And I don't like saying, because I don't want people to think that, you know, the rest of the movie isn't great. The movie's really good. I mean, top 10. Douglas, when you see it, I have no doubt that you will be in the top 10. And that final scene.
In my imaginary top 10.
Yeah, if you had seen it. That final scene is great. Oh my god, it is beautiful. This movie is really good. It's fantastic. It's really. And I'm kind of glad I didn't see it last year, because I don't know what I would have done with
it. Damien, yeah. I'll ask you, since you just saw it, because I haven't seen it for a while, and I'll be very vague. Does it appear after that final sequence within the credits?
Does what appear?
The thing that final credit sequence is about. Does it appear after that scene?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
It doesn't.
Alright, I just want to make sure.
It's explained away. It was really, so good. So good. Abby Cornish is also in Seven Psychopaths. You don't know her. She's not
Cornish,
I think.
I know the name, but right. I couldn't tell you who she is.
She's not real big, but I saw her and I went, I've seen her in something before. What else do I have that she's in? Turns out, a whole lot of nonsense. But there is one movie that jumped out, Stop Loss. Now, I think I may have seen this movie, but I doubt it because it is a MTV Films, and just by that... Channing Tatum is in it and MTV Films. I was pretty sure that I hadn't seen it. So I said, well, she's in it, so let me give it a watch. And it is a movie about the US military. Stop loss is this thing that happens when soldiers come back. They've served their term and they're told that they can't leave. They have another mission that they have to come back and go back out on another term. So that's what stop loss is.
No, it's not. God damn it. Stop loss is in finance.
You shut up. And so the movie is... and Cobra Commander is in this movie.
Oh, I'm done.
I mean, when I saw his name come up, I went, all right, I'm seeing enough things here. I should give this a watch. And the first 25 minutes is completely throwaway. What they do is, it's kind of like a US Navy ad for the military. It's just quick clips of these guys, you know, having fun and shooting and blowing up shit in the military.
It's, hold on, it's a Navy ad for the military?
No, have
or,
you seen?
Or is it a military ad?
Military,
for the Navy?
Whatever.
Or is it an ad for the military is, or is it an
no,
ad
no, no.
for the Navy? Which are
it
actually
is a
two
Navy,
different things.
It is an old Navy ad. Or the military. But if you can get past the first 25 minutes, which are, they're really terrible. Kimberly Pierre, I think that's, or Pierce, or whatever, I think that's the name of the guy who directed this movie.
Kimberly Pierce is the
supposedly
is
a
dude?
Guy. Yeah.
Okay.
He directed Boys Don't Cry.
Oh, wow.
Remember that movie, but I don't, I remember watching that movie.
Yeah,
I don't remember anything
ago.
About that
yeah,
movie.
Well,
so I don't remember it.
I remember one thing about
it
that movie.
Won,
yeah.
Well, yeah, you remember
yeah.
the.
Uh-huh. And it won
girl
like 20 million
yeah,
awards.
Yeah, it won everything
yeah.
in the world. But I don't remember if I enjoyed that movie.
I remember not enjoying it. But then again, I was a stupid little youngster
exactly.
at the time.
Once you pass the 25 minute mark, when it is, I guess MTV had free reign over that portion of the movie. It turns into this serious drama of Ryan Phillippe's character. He's decided.
You're asking me to watch a movie with
it's
that
really
asshole
good.
In it?
Yeah, whatever. he is one of the commanders. He's decided that he's not going to go back, even though they've told him that he has to go back. So it's about him trying to find a way to talk to the senator. But the senator won't talk to him because, of course, he's AWOL. And then more and more bad shit happens. And he has to find some way to deal with it. And it's a really good movie. It is kind of in defiance of the MTV Films logo in front of it. And I guess a lot of people didn't see this. I don't know. I've never heard anybody talk about this movie. I couldn't even find that many reviews for this movie on the internet, which is real bad. But the movie is, it is legit. It's not a great movie, but it is a good movie. And, if anyone like sees it on TV or gets a chance to see it, highly recommend it. Just kind of close your eye and turn off your brain for the first 20 minutes or so. And then the movie really picks up. All the characters are, fleshed out. Even Cobra Commander's character, he plays this depressed guy who keeps messing up because of the post-traumatic stress, and then bad shit happens, and it deals with families who have been military families, and it deals with army wives. There's a lot of things in there. There's a lot of substance, and that was surprising because, again, MTV Films. I want people to remember. MTV Films is at the start of this, and that was real scary. I also watched the first episode of Justified.
Yes, you did. And I think we all did. Andrew,
and
did you?
Yep.
Okay.
We can move on. this week I finished reading, listening to Brideshead Revisited, the book, and so I decided to go back and watch the movie again, the Matthew Good, Ben Whishaw version of the movie. And they, for a book that is so long, they did a terrific job putting as much of the madness from that book into that movie. It is kind of surprising because I don't remember seeing all of those things that I read in the book in the movie, but turns out they put pretty much everything. It doesn't, I mean, the movie is long. It is 2.5 hours long, so they had time. But the book kind of goes all over the place and then comes back. And the movie did its darndest. It is a really, really good adaptation. Now, this is the first time I've ever done that, like read a book and then go on straight to watch the movie. Usually, I watch them, or read one and then watch one with a lot of space in between. And this was the first one that I've read and gone, I definitely want to see just how good of a job they did. And I guess because I haven't read that many books, I don't have the thing where people compare one against the other. I really don't know which one is better. The movie is a good movie and the book is a good book, and books do what books do because they have all the time in the world, and movies have to cut a lot of that shit out because they don't. And the movie did its job, and the book is a classic. It's on Time's top 100 novels or some such matters. And so that's pretty much all I've seen this year. And again, a boatload of CES things. Like a whole lot of it. I enjoyed CES, guys. I wasn't there. I was wondering if I would rather go to a movie festival or CES. And it's unfair for me to pick this week, because this week the answer would have clearly been CES. But CES is this week.
Would it be though? Because honestly, I think I'd love to go to CES or something like that. But at the same time, if you think about it, if you go to a movie festival, mm-hmm. you're going somewhere where you're going to get to watch all the movies. If you're going to say CES, you're going somewhere where you get to see a lot of things that you want, but you're never going to get them. But
but that is what is exciting about CES.
But you never get them.
No, but you get to see the future, Doug.
No, you get to see it.
Yeah.
But you probably don't touch most of them.
All right.
You get to touch one, and then you walk away, and you're like, shit, I really want that.
Think about it in this way. I understand that perspective, but think about it this way. We never get to play with all of the devices. What we usually do is find people we can trust. There's usually a consensus around a certain number of devices, and we go, all right, everyone says this is the thing, and so I should probably get this. But I've never seen most of the things that, you know, that it's competition. I go, so for like phones, for instance, last year CS they put out your phone.
Mm-hmm.
HTC made this big splash. They went, this is our shit, this is the new shit, you want this. And everybody, once the phone came out, went, yeah. And so, but seeing that through the internet at a computer screen is different from you actually going there, picking it up and going, yeah, this is clearly better than all of it. And that is the experience that I want. All the movies will come out eventually, with the exception of a few. Even though I don't go to the film festivals, I'll eventually see most of the movies. I will never see all of those devices. The only way I'll see a couple of them is when people make poor decisions and buy terrible devices. And then I look at it for 1 second and go, you could have bought something better. And that is it. So, but again, this week is unfair because CS is this week. So clearly I'd love to be at CS this week. In 2 months' time, when there's no more CS, and I have a good amount of distance, and the film festivals are in high gear, I'll go, yeah, I probably want to go to see those movies that I want to see. So, yeah. But it was mostly CS. Andrew, what have you seen this week? I know it wasn't CS, because you don't care.
No, I haven't seen CES.
I hate you so much.
It's surprising how much I don't care.
You
don't seem to realize how happy I am now that the people in the office understand. Don't talk to me about hardware. Ask me about how to fix software.
I don't like you.
They look at me, they're like bringing up a device, like, how do you get into the comp? I'm like, I don't know what the comp port is.
No, but
just
I don't understand how to fix hardware either, but I love looking at new toys, and I want new toys.
But Andrew's talking to me about software.
Yeah.
But Andrew's terrible about software. Yes, he can build software, but if I come to Andrew and ask him specifics about any software, Andrew uses like 3 programs, plays forever, and then builds programs. Andrew doesn't go through like laundry list of programs. And if I ask Andrew, what is the best program to do X? and you won't have an answer for me.
Right? I didn't know a computer could do X. I haven't written that program yet, Damien. That's why I don't know the best one.
Absolutely.
But anyways, mm-hmm. I'll keep my list short. I saw the film by Mike Birbiglia, Sleepwalk With Me. I agree wholeheartedly with Damien. And I have to have the same opinion as Damien because I had listened to the stand-up based on Damien's recommendation and I love the stand-up so much. Like, I was actually listening to it on the flight back to Trinidad and there was a guy who just couldn't understand why I was laughing so much. But when you watch the movie, like, it kind of loses a bit of perspective. I feel that's where it kind of messes up. Because with stand-up, he's giving you his first-person perspective telling his story, where here's the funny thing with stand-up, is that I've come to this decision, and it's more or less true most of the time, where I take it as I get it, and I don't really assume that what he's telling me is a true story of it actually happened to him. I just take it as he made this joke, and it's funny, but it's all about because he's telling it in the first person perspective that it ends up being that much more funny, which is the same thing that I talk about in that scene in Good Will Hunting when he's talking about the flight attendant and such. But with the movie, it feels like it doesn't, even though it's a story about Mike Birbiglia, it feels as if it's trying to give you a much broader view of that story and it kind of ruins it a little bit. But that's just my opinion of the difference. I also saw Les Miserables, the new Tom Hooper film musical adaptation, and I almost wish Damien saw this movie because I think it would be 3 hours of torture for him as someone who hates musicals, because I didn't quite like this musical, to be honest.
Wow. So thanks. Thanks for that.
It's a good movie.
You just didn't like this good movie.
but it does something which a lot of the movie musicals don't do, where it is literally start to finish 3 hours of singing. There is no, like, normal dialogue in this movie at all. And the problem with that is that in a movie where they're casting A-list actors, not a lot of them can sing very well. So when you have Russell Crowe doing his thing, and on top of which, one of the things about this movie is that Tom Hooper made the actors record their audio live on set, so it wasn't a case of they had gone into the studio, done 50 recordings, and they're like, that's the best one, and then they go on set and lip sync and it kind of sounds good. Or even for the people who can't sing that well, they kind of work with them to make it sound. So you have Russell Crowe running up and down this scene with a sword and singing, and you can tell he's run out of breath and he kind of just missed 5 notes, and it just kind of hurts you. And he's not the only offender. The movie is alright. I wasn't in love. And I've been told by a lot of people, because I actually haven't seen or even heard any other versions of Les Mis. I mean, I know the famous song, which anyone sings whenever they're talking about this movie, I Dreamed a Dream. But I hadn't, and they've said that all you have to do is just go and look for an old Broadway version and you can find much better audio to listen to. So yeah, not that impressed. But the movie I want to talk about this week is Jack Reacher. Guys, it's exactly what I wanted. It's a damn good action detective movie. It's smart, it's fun, it's just so good. For all those people who boycotted the movie because they didn't like the fact that they cast Tom Cruise as the lead because he so doesn't fit the description of the character because it's based on a book.
Right.
Jack Reacher
is a 6'5". The only thing I know about Jack Reacher from the book is that his presence is his main asset. Right?
And Tom Cruise does it so good.
And people take one look at him and go, I probably shouldn't do this. Probably a terrible
and
idea.
And there's really only one scene where that kind of comes up, because there's one scene where late in the movie, they kind of want to frame Tom Cruise for a murder, and they're like, we need to find someone who can kill with one punch. And the woman is like, yeah, that guy. They're like, why do you think that guy? When you see him, you'll know, right? But they're talking about Tom Cruise. But the only reason that works is before you had seen a big fight scene, which you see in the trailers, with
and
Tom
he kills
Cruise,
that guy with
beats
one
up
punch.
with five people in like 2 seconds.
Of course.
And it's awesome. You guys need to watch this and The Way of the Gun if you haven't seen it yet. It's so good. It's A-team good. Okay?
I like the A-team. Look, CES is the reason I haven't seen. Like, I had planned on leaving the house early to watch Jack Reacher and Django. But then I got sucked into watching
stupid technology news.
I don't know about
the
stupid technology part. I don't know about that. But I did get sucked into watching Boatload of CES.
Now I'm not afraid to do the Lord's work. He said vengeance is his, but I'ma do it first. I'm gonna handle my business in the name of the law. Oh, now if he made you cry, oh, I gotta know he's not ready to die.
So let's move on to trailers. Andrew Robinson, you started out this year like you did last year. You forced us to watch trailers, and not a lot of them are good. Why have you done this, Andrew Robinson?
So the first trailer I want to talk about is Ginger and Rosa.
Boom! Can we just do that now?
The only life is the one we have now, which is why we must seize it and live.
Hi, Ginger's dad.
It's Roland, actually.
Nuclear weapons threaten our very existence. We must stop this madness.
I think Rosa's a bad influence.
Who do you think you are? Don't you care about the future anymore?
Who do you think you are? Not everyone can save the whole world. Some of us have to concentrate on just one person.
Ginger may be grown up enough to try to save us all from nuclear catastrophe. But she's also young enough to still need some looking after.
I'll say it. I'll explode if I say it.
What is it you can't say, Ginger?
Carried us one. No.
Starring Christina Hendricks, Timothy Spall, Elle Fanning, and some other people whose names I don't know or don't really remember that much.
Oliver Platt.
I like how you remember Christina Hendricks, despite her being in two shots of the trip.
She's the other Ginger.
Yeah, she's real pretty.
Damien, what did you think of this trailer?
Trailer was bad. And this trailer came out months ago. I saw this trailer a long time ago, so I don't know why you're forcing it upon us, to start with 2013.
So now we're using that, so can I keep that for when you guys just chuck in trailers like, Andrew, you have nothing good, I'm going to find something from 2 years ago and throw in there just because.
Sure. But the trailer isn't, it's just not that good. It is, like, the trailer is really, it takes doing to put out a boring trailer. A trailer is 120 seconds long, right? And this trailer is kind of boring. Right? It's
that's a good way. That's a good way to describe this trailer. This trailer was not 2 minutes long. This trailer was 120 seconds long.
Real bad.
I zoned out like halfway through. I really don't know what this movie is about because guess what? The trailer is boring.
It's so bad.
That's the weirdest part for me, because what I usually do at this point is I will go to Wikipedia and start reading through what the movie's about, but I didn't do that this time, and I'm watching the trailer, and it's based in some historical context, but I couldn't even tell what the context was.
It was in the 60s when hippies were arguing about nuclear, this and nuclear.
Is this in England or Scotland or something? It felt like something that you just couldn't quite put your finger on where it was.
It's a fantasy world in the director's mind.
I just remember hearing a lot of good things about this movie. But yeah, the trailer.
Don't get me wrong, you know, I expect this movie to be. It's probably going to be one of the better movies we see this year, but that trailer is awful. This is an awful trailer.
Okay, moving on. Next trailer I want to talk about is the new film from the director of Robo, titled
Listen to me carefully. We must meet.
Who is this?
I'll explain everything.
I only realized I loved my face after it had been burned with acid. Before, it was just my face. I only started laughing it again when it had partially disappeared. Do you follow?
Not really.
I made us watch Robo a while back, and I think I was the only one who really, really liked that movie.
Yeah, you were.
That liked and all of the movie. We were on board for a while. At least I was on board for a while.
No, well, yeah, there's...
And then the joke became less and less funny, and then
it's
the ending...
It's hard to pull off the joke for that long.
Yeah, for 90 minutes, it turns out you need more than a... sentient piece of rubber to get people on board. But
so instead of talking about a tire, this time the guys are talking about a man who has his dog stolen from him.
Right.
So and he is trying to telepathically connect with his dog so that he can find out where he is.
You've forgotten with the help of Kenny. What's his name?
I never remember that.
His assistant. I know, his assistant, I know.
Yeah. Kenny Powers.
Kenny Powers, thank you. Kenny Powers' assistant, yes.
I've seen that guy in everything and I can't remember his name.
Oh really? I don't know him really from that Kenny Powers show that I didn't like in the first place.
And it has William Fichtner. I love William Fichtner. And he looks amazing going, they burnt my face. And now I love it even more. I miss it. I didn't know I loved it this much, but my face is burnt. That's why I took your dog. Hello, I'm looking forward to this movie, guys. Expect a podcast on this.
Yeah, this trailer was good, I have to admit. I do believe this will not be a good movie, and that we will not like it.
That's my fear.
But this trailer does well enough for me to want to watch it.
Guys, like... I really, really enjoy this trailer.
And also, the music is good.
Yeah. No, the trailer did its job. It entertained. And it makes me hype for the movie. But I said this to Douglas after we saw all the trailers. The best trailer that we saw is probably going to be the worst movie of the three trailers that we're talking about. I would like for it not to be that way. I would love if wrong. It's fantastic. But the visionary director of Robo is doing this. And I do not trust him.
I think this is kind of what we said about the trailer of Robo.
Yes. And look how that turned out.
I loved it.
No one cares.
So the last trailer I was talking about is Trance, in which Danny Boyle decides to put Professor X against the Night Fox in a heist movie in their minds. Something like that.
Where is it?
I can't remember! I got hit on the head!
That you remember.
Have you ever been hypnotized before?
Whatever is in his head, she can find.
Now I want you to relax, Simon.
Stop. What can you make him do?
Anything.
Damien, what did you think about this trailer?
All right, so,
boom.
Yeah, look, Danny Boyle, you gave us the Olympics opening ceremony, so you have name recognition.
Why is the Olympics the first thing that you think of?
No, because that is what everybody will remember him for.
Is Damien we will remember him. The worst.
No, no, exactly. We will remember him for great movies.
Why didn't they put that in the trailer from the director of
the right, from the director of the Olympics? We know Danny Boyle does great movies. Sunshine, and in fact, the list is real long and I don't have time.
Essentially, all of his movies, except for perhaps Sunshine.
What do you have against Sunshine? Right,
I'm not a big fan of Sunshine.
You know,
I'm not.
Let me not talk to Douglas.
Sunshine is his best movie.
Right.
No!
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 No! Absolutely not.
Actually, I'm pretty sure it's not his best movie, but I love it so much.
Alright, quick. Danny Boyle's best movie.
Trainspotting.
Andrew?
I don't know. I want to say Sunshine because it might just be my favorite.
27 Days Later. Let's never
there you go. 27. I didn't even think of that one. 28
Days Later.
Yeah,
what, 20,
yeah, yeah.
29. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. There's Shallow Grave as well. I love that movie a lot. Haven't you guys seen that yet?
I have, but it was a long time ago. I don't remember much about it.
Years and years ago.
I was still in university. Yeah.
I didn't know what movies were. So Danny Boyle.
But I do remember liking it though.
Danny Boyle is Danny Boyle.
Oh, 127 hours.
There's no way that's
No, that is not his best movie. Good, but not the best.
And that one in India is not even close.
Yeah, not even calling it.
So he has name recognition. All he had to do is go, hey guys, I'm putting out a new movie. It should have just been him with a plaque that says trans.
Yeah.
And him pointing at the plaque and then a date.
Right? I would have been down for that trailer.
This trailer is bad. It is.
Aww.
It's not a good trailer.
No, Andrew, seriously, I heard that grunt.
You're right.
But think about it. Take away Danny Boyle's name, take away Vincent Cassell's name, and take away James McAvoy's name. Okay?
No,
so right. Take away
just
all of
that. Just replace those actors and director with people you don't know, and we wouldn't even be talking about his trailer. We have seen this trailer and God, that looks kind of interesting, but looks
no,
kinda
not even kind of interesting. Exactly.
No,
it looks kind of bad.
Andrew, no, looks kinda, but these guys won't like it, so let's not talk about this. Andrew, we are going to watch this movie. Like, it's not...
Yes, there's right, no question about
not,
that shit.
I'm not trying to say that the movie is going to be bad.
Because
Danny Boyle's
going to be good.
On the movie.
Yeah.
That trailer is terrible, though. It's not a situation like Star Trek, where Douglas is the only person still to this day that has said a negative thing about any of those Star Trek trailers. Right? This one I could clearly look at it and go, no, this is bad. Right? Even though there's clearly enough bias that is going to make me watch the movie, I could still step back and go, but that trailer that he showed me is not a good one. I expect better from the movie clearly, but if we were, and we aren't, going to go by the trailer, then I wouldn't watch this movie. Luckily, I don't have to do that. Douglas, you don't like it, you're barking at the trailer. Andrew, you seem to like this trailer.
I do like this trailer, and alright, I'll do what you ask. I'm taking away all of the names. You know, right. I'm not even going to bring out the Night Fox, I'm not going to bring out Professor X. I kinda like it for, like, the last minute or so when it's kind of giving us the kind of feel that this movie wants to go for when it comes to the hypnosis and the going through your mind, and it looks like it's going to be playing a lot of tricks, going through memories or and such, and
is
that kind
Matrix?
Of stuff looks interesting. It looks like it could be done well, and I want to see it. And I guess knowing Danny Boyle is there, and Danny Boyle being a filmmaker who has done so many different things with all of his movies, like if we try to list out all of his movies, there are glaring differences between each one.
Right.
He's almost,
like that one where the queen jumped out of the helicopter. What was that about?
That movie, like, crazy. He's the British Soderbergh. And
can we not call him that ever again, though? Because I still like Danny Boyle.
Yeah, I think let's just say that to us, he's a British good director.
Right.
Soderbergh is a less good Danny Boyle.
How was that? Not going to engage it. And to see that he wants to do a movie which deals with the mind really and such like that, I want to see it.
Andrew, the question isn't whether or not we want to see this movie. Right?
And the trailer is good. Okay, you want me to say the trailer is good. I like the trailer.
You started out by saying, let me take out the director and all the actors. And then you completely ignored that and went into why you love the trailer. But never mind. I understand you cannot see past Danny Boyle's name. And we get that. We've been doing that for years. But I'm just telling you that trailer is not very memorable, but Danny Boyle plus new movie equals minus $800, that's the cost of the ticket. Do you think Les Miserables will be coming out to Jamaica at any point?
Isn't it out already?
Is it here?
I think so.
No, I don't believe so.
No, it's not.
I didn't see it anywhere.
I don't know.
Douglas, do you really think they're going to put a 3-hour long singing movie in Carib? I think that might get less viewers than The Master. Me and you are not going to watch it.
No, we're not.
You see, the weird part is I'd be willing to watch it again, like, and pick it as a podcast movie only so I could make Damien go through that.
Yeah, you forget that I don't have to, even though you pick these movies, we don't have to. Is that a mandate this year that if we don't watch the movie we're supposed to review, we can't. They're all garbage.
Really?
Yeah.
They look nice, though.
They look real nice, but they're not good. In terms of specs, I'm pretty sure they built decent tablets. Sorry for... And Douglas just showed me Arthur's tablets.
I figured Arthur's
well. Nah, I'm telling
when
the
I heard
people
the change,
on the podcast.
I'm like, Douglas is looking at something. Yeah.
I don't see... Like if
stop using the internet, Douglas.
But it's a dual
if
core.
If Les Miserables gets a lot of
and the quad core
gets a lot of Oscar praise, then they might bring it out here. But I don't see it happening.
It got the best picture and the best director nomination.
Oh,
but
good.
I don't think it got any actors.
Oh, so those are out.
the
nominations came out yesterday.
Apparently Lincoln got 20 or 22 nominations.
Silver Linings got everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's definitely winning. Did Master get anything?
I don't know.
Yeah, it got pretty much everything except director.
All right. That's
it got best actor?
Yeah.
Well,
who got best actor?
Wait, why am I pretending that I'm going to watch this? I'm like, all right, yeah come on, please win. Yeah. Like,
well, that's what the internet is for. You just wait
right.
for it to finish
exactly.
and get
the
list.
Day after, I'll get a list and go, wrong. Okay, wrong. Haven't seen this. I don't even know where people watch these short films. Best makeup. And then, wrong, and then I'm done. Oh, I'm out. Turns out these old white guys are still around about it.
I don't do too much talking these days. These days I seem to think a lot about the things that I forgot to do. And all the times I had the chance.
When the deal went down, they didn't know whose side he was on.
C'est tout?
Ouais, c'est dans le lieu sûr.
C'est qui, lui?
Parce que je suis flic. Oh, ça va, je suis flic, mais je fais du business.
J'aimerais récupérer le sac.
C'est quoi ce bordel, ouais, Thomas?
When they took his son, he became a desperate father. And when his partners double-crossed him...
Bon, ben, vous le retrouvez et vous le lâchez plus.
They turned him into... a dangerous man.
Who made the pick for this week again? Was it Andrew?
I believe
me.
So.
Right. So Andrew Robinson cheated again. He went onto the internet and said, I need a Fantastic Four film to watch. Preferably a French one. Everyone said
this because this was so good. I kind of found the way to pander to you all.
Right.
I found an action thriller movie right. for Damien and a French crazy right. night movie for Douglas, and I said, "There, let's right. talk about that for the beginning right. of 2013."
Okay, Damien, you want to go together?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. We hated it.
Nope. Okay, you're on
no,
your own.
No,
I know you're
no, yeah, exactly.
All right. So this is the movie of
the pandering.
It's one day. It's called Sleepless Night. About this guy. I can't remember the character name right now. I should have Vincent. It written down. Yes. Vincent, who in the morning robs a guy of some drugs.
A courier.
By the afternoon, the drug man gives him a phone call to say, "I have your son.
The drug man, Andrew?
No, the drug
Andrew,
man.
The drug man? You're from Jamaica, Andrew.
Did he
obviously.
Immediately say that he has a certain set of skills? that
And then we get to watch the entire night of him trying to get his son back all within this nightclub while and all the things that go on with it.
My mother likes Taken 2.
Oh,
she's
Damien.
So wrong.
Damien!
I had to watch it again.
Damien!
It's not good. They need to take the word Taken off of that film. Just call it 2.
Just call it like Took.
Yeah. Retook.
a side story to The Hobbit.
No, that would have been Took.
Take the longest journey. Oh God! All right, Sleepless Night. Andrew was trying to have a decent podcast, and we real well. Partially Andrew's fault. Andrew, please, I don't even know where you were. Please continue.
So I had heard a lot about this movie. I'd been hearing great things, namely from one Mr. Matt Singer. He continues to champion this film. And I saw it was available and I went, I want to watch this movie now, so let's talk about it. Let me start out by saying I tried to watch this movie last night at around midnight, and I've said this before, it's always a bad idea to watch foreign films while you're sleepy.
Yes, this is true, because then you have to read.
You have to read. As much as I'm not against subtitled movies, being sleepy doesn't help a lot. So my first time watching this movie, I was literally going, what the hell is going on? Because I'd fall asleep for 5 minutes, wake up, and see something happening. And this kind of a movie where it's so closely knit together, how things move, it's very bad for that. So I rewatched it today, and I'm like, oh, that makes sense now. It is a really interesting movie in how it kind of has almost two plots running at the same time, in that you have the story of him trying to get his son back with as little damage done, and at the same time we find out a second plot to the second half of the movie that he's doing some form of investigation into the police, into crooked police, and it all works. It doesn't feel like it's overloading the movie. It makes it even more interesting. For a movie like this, it almost feels like with the build-up of he's trying to get his son back, is that we would get tired of it after an hour, and then they throw in this other thing, and it kind of helps keep the movie going, and I loved it so much. There's even a great action sequence in this movie in the kitchen later on in the film, which I like a lot. But I'm very interested to hear what Damien thought about this movie, because I'm pretty sure Douglas liked it. Even though he wants to lie to me, that's fine. When he actually talks, he'll tell the truth, I hope. Damien, I'm very interested. What did you think of this movie?
What do you think I think about this movie?
I'm afraid you'll call it mediocre version of X movie that you love more.
A lot of movies would fall into that. A lot of movies I like would fall into that. If I judge movies purely on that scale, I wouldn't like a lot of movies. But as I said, Andrew cheated, because what Andrew did was look for great foreign movies and then pick one and have us watch it. And The thing about that is, if you, when you do that, you tend to get great movies. Even if you use the Oscars, the thing we don't watch and we berate all the time because they're always wrong. Even if you take their movies, with the exception of Crash, all the movies that they picked are good movies. If you watch them, you won't go, this is a flaming pile of garbage. So this movie, The Last Night or Sleepless Night, was nominated for a boatload of awards from the French version of what the Oscars was. I remember after I saw the poster, I went, oh, I know that movie, because BBC had gone there and
yeah,
they
the poster did look familiar.
Right.
I don't know.
BBC had this thing up years ago, and it was nominated for a, like, it was surprising because it was the time when they, Sarkozy was saying that certain classes of people should go back to them yard. And then this movie came out, Big Gangbusters, and everybody looked at Sarkozy and go, you realize this is your last term. Kind of done. So I thank Andrew for reminding me about this movie. I enjoy this movie. There's really not that much to not enjoy. They told a really good story. I think Andrew is confused about some of the finer points in the second half, because the whole story about him investigating crooked cops is a lie.
Well,
you see, here lies the thing.
Hold on.
I don't think
hold
the
on.
Movie
yeah.
tells you it's a lie. It kind of plays with that.
Yeah, I
you
have
could
to
think that it's a cover
side
story
with Andrew here.
Up, but
no, this
it,
is just
it,
because
it,
I'm an optimist, right?
Right.
But the movie neither confirms nor denies that this is the case. So he could have been lying, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
He also, however, could have been telling the truth. And it doesn't, the point of the movie is not
right.
to say whether he is this person or he is not. The point of the movie is just, look at how awesome this action is, and look, he saves his son, and look how great this guy turns out to be. That's essentially what this movie is.
Whether it's Andrew's way or not,
mm-hmm.
the movie, nothing changes. The movie is still awesome.
Yeah.
But if you take what happened at the start of the movie, if you look at what happened at the start,
mm-hmm.
and then look at the story that he's telling, they don't line up. Because he's saying that he is going after, you know, the higher-ups that is
mm-hmm.
protecting whoever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the second that dude shot the guy, right? The other cop shot the guy at the start of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That is all he would have needed to force the issue. He wouldn't have to have done. Andrew.
No.
What?
You
get,
it's not
you
necessarily
get police,
so. Because. No, but the police guy mm-hmm. killed the other guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Right? But that doesn't mean you still did finish a job, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, right? Let's assume this is the truth and he is actually an undercover cop. If the job went through okay, that means that you're gonna have to deliver to the higher up, and then you'll see who it is, right? So maybe you're right. Maybe he could use that as leverage, but clearly it makes sense to just wait it out a little longer and see if you get to find out who it is. And then if you don't,
yeah,
say,
yeah,
all right, fine.
Right.
No, I got you on murder.
How could he get enough time?
Exactly. He didn't
right.
because everything happened so quickly, you know. And I'm not saying that it is or it isn't. I personally would like him to actually be an undercover cop because I'm like that. But I don't know. And I'm fine with this movie. I actually like that this movie doesn't tell you whether he is or not.
And it really doesn't matter.
And it doesn't matter.
I know.
Yeah.
The action scene in the that Andrew is alluding to is the one action scene. And it takes a lot of doing to have a movie like this. That is this high tension, supposedly action movie
mm-hmm.
to have one big action scene and get away with it. But it does, because it keeps the tension ratcheted up to such a high level that even though there's no action, you're constantly waiting for
something
the next thing to
yeah.
happen, you know,
yeah.
and the next domino to fall. And it's really good. The acting is spectacular. That action scene, they had one, but they made it effective. It was a really good one. And he got the shit beat out of him. And that other guy. First off, I don't know how many times any of you are falling downstairs.
Yeah, no, no.
I thought he was not dead.
And he did it twice. Exactly. Right? He fell down it normally, yeah. Which you look at it and you say, okay, well, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. Then his ass fell down the shit.
Yeah, and... Yeah, falling downstairs isn't... Oh, I haven't been stabbed in the gut at any point. But falling downstairs isn't fun.
No, it is not. No, so, it is not.
Yeah. The movie is terrific. I enjoyed how the movie ended. I enjoyed the rookie cop bit. Her role was mm-hmm. really fantastic. He beat some sense into that. She was way over her head.
Yeah.
The first time, I understand that she knows he's a police, but she assumes he's a crooked cop. He has a gun pointed to her head. I wouldn't have waited until he's threatening to break my arm before giving up the info. I have told him, since he's real crooked, I would probably shoot me. I think you should just give up the information. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect them beating women in this movie, but that worked. It worked in context, and it turns out that in real life gangsters are stupid, and I'm glad that they made them equally stupid in this movie, because it was fun.
Especially the West Indian,
yeah,
the Jamaican. Did he say he was Jamaican?
He said West Indian. Why do you, just because you don't live here anymore, you assume that every bad West Indian is a Jamaican? Has it rubbed off that quickly?
No, it's just my memory of what Jamaica was like.
Look, Jamaican people can't speak French. Clearly not Jamaican. But the movie, I enjoyed this movie a lot. But I kind of expected that I would. So it met my expectations. And this movie, in no small part, helped Nicolas Sarkozy to be fired, which I'm kind of saddened by, because of all the world leaders that I liked, he was one of the few, not because of his policies, because there's very few world leaders that are essentially applauded for having a wife and a mistress. Like, of course you do.
You know who else was that? At Berlusconi.
Yeah, no, yes. But Berlusconi has slept with every woman on the planet. If someone said, Damien, your sister was photographed with Berlusconi, and I've gone, I guess that makes sense. That man is he's the most awful man on the planet, and he slept with half of it. He's Julius Caesar. That's his mother nature. He's the worst. And you know that he's planning to run again, right?
Yeah, even though I don't understand though, because he I'm pretty sure. No, hold prison. On. Yeah, exactly, I'm pretty sure prisoner. He's in prison and has a 4-year ban right. on going into politics. I don't
and
understand
has
how he's running.
Corruption charges still. Yes. And so forth. Money laundering charges. This man is a career criminal that has been president what now 4 times?
Yes, sir.
Oh my God, that country is the worst.
Yeah. Well, no, they couldn't really get him on corruption. They had to catch him on taxes.
Yeah, no, but there's still other cases. There's other cases that this guy has done. He's the greatest. That man is the best. And he owns AC Milan, which...
Yup.
Yeah, this movie is great. I like this movie a lot.
Okay, can I just echo what Damien said about this movie? This movie is fantastic. I enjoyed it immensely. I mean, it wasn't... There were aspects of it that were intelligent, but it wasn't necessarily what we try to come up with when we think of an intelligent movie. But, you know, it was a fun time. It was extremely entertaining. You know, you can tick off most of the things off of our list. It was just great. A good watch.
Yeah, execution. They said, hey, let's make a tense action movie. And I said, all right. And they executed. And we like movies for a lot of different reasons. But a well-executed, whatever movie it is still a well-executed movie. And you get a lot of points. A lot of points for making a movie properly. And this, like, if you want, you could probably sit down. We could sit and nitpick things. But that would be defeating the purpose. You have taken a movie that you loved and then slowly or surely found things that you didn't, that weren't consistent or this and that. And is that why, I know that's why some critics on the internet watch movies. Certainly
isn't
not
weird
why
that
I watch
this,
movies.
When this movie was over, one of my few thoughts was, he's left his gun in the club. He has to go back for it in a few days. That's going to suck.
He left that gun in a trash can.
No, his gun. Like, right. Early in the movie, you see him put his gun, like, in that place
in
where the light
right.
is.
Yeah.
And he tries to go and get it at one point, but he doesn't. When the movie's over, that gun is still there, you'd assume.
He was also dying at the end of the movie. I'm pretty sure once he's out of the hospital, he'll find some way to get back his gun.
I'm pretty sure him being an undercover cop was true.
I like the fact that I like that scene with the guy that didn't speak French putting flour into the bag and taping it up.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I also like that.
I love as soon as he waves his badge and this guy's
and
like,
shit,
for
the
and he runs.
He's
like,
fuck
you.
Nope. I've seen this before. I'm not getting deported. Fuck you guys. So good. I like this movie a lot.
You know something about drugs? Make it look like a drug bag. No.
This movie's real good. Yeah. Turns out all you need to make drugs is flour and masking tape. Oh,
and a faulty zipper.
Right. Well, that's to keep people from testing it.
Yes.
That's really good.
That was
real
it.
Good.
That's smart.
And him dissing the West Indian guy was also real good.
Like, the Jamaica.
Do I have to sit through this? You can't open my goddamn bag. What is wrong with this idiot? Oh, so good. This movie is good, guys.
It's
Andrew cheated, though. Andrew cheated. This movie is one shit.
So, actually, when you think about it, my last few picks have been what? The Untouchables,
right.
Oslo, and
right.
all this.
Yeah, exactly. Movies that have won.
Exactly. Where is your paper bag, plastic bag jellyfish? Huh? Huh?
Yeah, where's your Buck-ups movie?
Don't worry, no. We'll soon talk about Wrong.
Oh, which one is Wrong?
Wrong is the Rubber
Rubber one. Okay, cool.
That awesome trailer that we saw.
I don't know the names of these
terrible
things,
director.
I just know. Yeah.
Well,
alright. So that's been the Unnamed Movie Podcast, the first of 2013. So
he sounds so happy.
I am. It's a new year, guys.
You know what else he should be happy
Unnamed
about?
Unnamed Movie Podcast.
Not only is he cheating on us, not only is he planning to cheat on us again, but he's doing so extremely publicly. He just sends out a tweet saying, would anybody like to talk about The Last Stand? I would like to do a podcast about that this week.
Mm-hmm.
What? Andrew.
I have two co-hosts that I could talk about that movie with, but those guys are jerks.
Yes, and
so
when
no.
I send you an email saying, guys, go to the theater and watch The Last Stand, I'll be like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah, where am I? With, what theater are you talking about? You want me to jump on a plane? Now, here what? You buy the ticket and I'll go back and watch last
Even night. Even if I planned around Palace, I'm sure I'd get a fuck you email.
Yeah, right. Starting move is 4:30. Stupid bastard. Oh, God. Alright, guys. Let me outro this since Andrew clearly isn't feeling it tonight. Thanks, guys, for watching this. Me and you. Other people, I guess you can try and watch it. That's what people did old timey days with the radio. But for people that have podcast listeners, thanks for listening. This is our first for 2013. We're going to be doing same shit we did all those other years. We'll try to be a little better.
No,
we'll try. We're not going to be.
Okay.
This is the aim. Andrew doesn't seem to be liking MCing this anymore. He seems to be a bit, you know, on the dour side. Like, this is becoming a pain. And that's to be expected because he keeps cheating on us with other people, so he doesn't have the vigor that he once had when it was just us. And that kind of saddens me, but that's okay. It's going to work out in the end. You'll catch some podcast STD and then you'll come back to us. You'll get burned.
Podcast as long as you're difference. Fine with the mistress being there, I'm okay. As long as you're fine and you know that I'll be back eventually.
Yeah, he'll
you
get
know?
Some nasty.
His throat will burn when he talks. Alright.
So the they podcast as the usual podcast. Can be found at gmanreviews.com, also on iTunes. And that's where I write all my stuff at gmanreviews.com.
Okay. Alright folks, good night.
Yeah, you can find us all on Twitter and the internet.
Like the clouds in my hometown, you just grow fat and hang around, and your days stretch out beneath the sun, and no one's born, no one dies, no one loves, so no one cries, and we wait see just what we will become. Don't let me borrow, don't let me bring, don't let me wallow, don't make me sing. Let me see just who I will become.